bless you. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 333, stanzas 1 through 4, How I love thy law, O Lord. Daily joy its truths afford. In its constant light I go, wise to conquer every foe. 1 through 4 of Psalter 333.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Ephesians chapter 6. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. And in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, in the communion of saints, in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs, and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God, we attempt to draw nigh to Thee once again in this afternoon hour, and Thou commandest us to submit to one another, and Thou art He that standeth in that great place of sovereign Lord of heaven and of earth. And therefore, we need in our hearts to be born again, that we may have a desire to bow before Thee as the great Lord, that we may have a desire to walk according to Thy holy commandments, to submit ourselves to one another as Thou commandest us in Thy word. And Thou givest instruction unto those who are set over others, as well as to those who are under their authority. And Lord, this we are called to speak about in this afternoon hour. May Thou give us words to speak. May Thou give us matters to bring forth, and that Thy word may go open into the heart of each and every one of us, that we may also be given that desire to know that Thou art not only our Creator and our Maker, but that Thou art also our Father. Lord, that we may not be as servants and serving a master, but that we may be given to be children serving their Father. Lord, that it may be the delight of our heart to walk in all Thy ways, that it may be the desire of our heart to please Thee and to walk in Thy commandments. Then what an easy service it shall be. Then it shall be no burden. Then it shall be no yoke. But then we will walk with desire over this world to be in obedience. Oh, remember us in such a way, but that we also may see our need, that the obedience of Thy only begotten Son, that was a perfect obedience, that it may be also written to our account, because we fall so short, that our hearts are of ourselves rebellious against Thee. And we have no power to change our hearts. And then even after received grace, then that old man has a law in his members. Oh Lord, that we may see our need for that perfect obedience which Thou hast received of Thy only begotten Son, in whom Thou art so well pleased. That may also be applied unto us, that His obedience may be counted also for our obedience, and that so we shall be seen as without spot before thee. Lord, wilt thou wash us and wilt thou cleanse us? Do forgive all that is sinful within and without. And wilt thou remember us with all our children, that they also may be given that grace to bow also under thy commandments, and to obey father and mother. Wilt thou look upon each one of us in whatever station of life that we are? Also, when we are placed under a governing power in this world, and then we are also called to obedience therein, Lord, that they may also be given to realize what their duty is before thee, to command us according to thy holy word, and that we also may live a peaceable life under their authority. Do remember then all those that are sitting in the seat of judgment in this world. Give them also to recognize that thou art that great authority, and that they may feel obliged to thee, and that they may judge a righteous judgment, and that the innocent may be set free, and that the guilty may be punished in a righteous manner, and that thou may put away evil from among us. Lord, so remember us as a land and people, as a denomination and congregation. Wilt thou send thy Spirit in rich measure to dwell amongst us and within us, and to lead and guide us into all of thy truth? Do grant more servants in thy vineyard. Wilt thou cause them to be thrust forth who have no ability and strength in themselves, but who may be taught and instructed by thee? Those whom thou wilt accompany, whose words that thou wilt bless for the upbuilding of thy kingdom here below, for there are still many vacant congregations. Lord, that thou would give all together then in each and every one of us to storm thy throne of grace also on their behalf. And wilt thou pour out upon us the rain of thy Holy Spirit that is by us so undeserved? Do look upon the mission fields, on all those that labor therein. Lord, wilt thou supply in the needs that are there continually, that thou may also give a servant to labor in that place, that many may be called out of the darkness of nature into thy marvelous light, and be with all those in this world to whom thy word has never yet gone, and those who are persecuted therefore. Lord, that thy truth may be spread over this world far and wide, that thy kingdom may come over every nation in this world, and that they may come from the east and from the west and sit down in thy kingdom. Do look upon all those that are in the warfares over the length and breadth of this world. When there are civil wars, when there are wars between nations, that thou thyself may cause thy Spirit to rest upon these people also, that all fighting may cease, and that thou would cause to experience something of that peace that comes in the service of thee, in the love of thee, and which is brought into this world by thy only begotten Son. Oh, that thou would give that those that are steeped in the errors of that prince of darkness who is leading in so many ways unto that eternal perdition may be enlightened, that thy word may be used for true conversion, and that thereby they may be led to thee, and that thou may receive all the honor and all the glory. Lord, wilt thou look at, upon each one of us also in the place that thou hast placed us in this life, the fathers, to earn sufficient for their families. And thou knowest the condition of each one, and also all that takes place in our own economy. Lord, that thou may supply in all of our needs. But when there are also distresses, when there are also difficulties, that thou may cause us to understand, and that we may come to thee in a way of true repentance, that we may be drawn to turn from our evil and vain ways, that we may draw nigh unto thee in truth and in spirit. Wilt thou look upon us in this afternoon hour? Lord, go before us in the bringing of thy holy word. And wilt thou give in a special way our children and young people ears to hear and hearts to understand, and that thy spirit may accompany thy word for the salvation and the welfare of each and every one. Forgive all that is sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 40, stanzas 1, 2, 5, and 6. The law and that the Lord has ordained is perfect, and the soul to restore. His truth makes the simple most wise, the truth that is sure evermore. 1, 2, 5, and 6 of Psalter number 40. Beware of the scribes, which desire to walk in long robes, and love greetings in the markets, and the highest seats in the synagogues, and the chief rooms at feasts. Thus were congregation the words of the great prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. He speaks about honor. Honor is something that is very highly esteemed in this world, very highly esteemed among men. Oftentimes that honor is sought even more in this world than are the riches of this world. We read here that the Pharisees, they desired to wear long robes, that is, to be clothed with the clothes of the highest ranking officials, the kings, the priests, that they loved the greetings in the markets, that is, the salutations of men, the highest seats and the chief rooms. Not that there is something wrong with each one of these things. However, these were, the Lord Jesus says, all the objects of their love. They were all the objects of their desire. These were the things that the Pharisees were seeking after. And for that reason, he says, they are just for pretense, making long prayers. But the Lord Jesus says, how can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor which cometh from God only? Thus he speaks about an honor, and that is being sought out by men and from men. And then he is speaking about an honor that is coming, he says, from God. Thus there are stations and there are positions in this world that are from the Lord. Then it is not honor, and that is to be sought for the sake of honor. The Lord, we can read in his word, is giving to each one in this world their place, whether it be a high place or a low place. We read that Asaph writes, lift not up your horn on high, speak not with a stiff neck, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge, he putteth down one and setteth up another. Paul speaks about the office of the high priest. And then he says that this honor that is not coming from men, but it is an honor that is given unto a man by the Lord. Thus to seek honor, that is exactly the opposite to the way that the Lord is giving honor unto men in this world. Do you know how that goes, boys and girls, young people? We read in the Word of God that pride cometh before a fall. Thus, dishonor, that is following after the placing of ourself in a high position. On the other hand, we read that before honor, that is true honor, that is honor from the Lord, is coming humility. Therefore, the Lord says that whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased. But whosoever humbleth himself shall be exalted. Thus we are commanded not to love, We are commanded not to desire. We are not commanded to seek honor from men. And yet at the same time, we are commanded to give honor unto God, but also unto men. Thus, not to seek to be honored, but to seek to honor. And we read that in our fifth commandment, which we want to consider in this afternoon. The fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Lord's Day 39, question 104. What doth God require in the fifth commandment? Answer, that I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hands. So for our Lord's Day, honoring my father and my mother. First, who are my father and mother? Second, how I must honor my father and my mother? And third, why I must honor my father and mother. Honoring my father and mother, first, who they are. Second, how I must honor them. And third, why I must honor them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business, and bring it into the king's treasuries. Who was this? That was Haman. What a great gift that he was ready to take out of his own treasuries. What a great gift that he was ready to give unto the king. And for one reason, that was for his own honor. The man's pride has been greatly hurt because Mordecai has refused to bow before him. Why was that? Why was it that Mordecai refuses to bow before Haman? Was not Haman given by the king, and was not that in the providence of the Lord, that Haman may receive a position of authority and greatness in this world? Is it then not the position, is it not the place of Mordecai also to give honor unto this man Haman? Was Mordecai then misinformed in this? And that in his conscience he does not want to do something which actually he is commanded to do. Don't we read that also of the children of Israel? Don't we read of that woman of Tekoa? She is sent by Joab to David, and we find that she is bowing so low before this King David. We see Ahimaaz. He is sent to bring tidings unto the king, and he is bowing before the king. Bathsheba is bowing before the king. Why is it then that Mordecai will not bow before this Haman? That is not because his conscience is misinformed, but that honor that these kings in that time were requiring of their subjects was different than that honor that David required of his subjects. Because these kings of Persia, They have required, actually, that they may receive the honor by their subjects of a god. That is, that they were required to actually not only honor them, but that they were required to bow before them in the way of worshiping them as a god, to give to them a divine honor as those who were the suppliers of all the good and of the welfare of all of the people. And such an honor is forbidden by man to give unto man, because such an honor belongs only to the Lord. We can read how that the people of Lystra, after that the apostles Paul and Barnabas have healed a crippled man, and that they are bringing their sacrifices, and they are calling them by the names of their gods. One of them is Jupiter, one of them is Mercurius, and they want to do them sacrifice because they have done this great miracle, and therefore they must actually be divine. And we can read how that the apostles are running to and fro among the people, that they are scarce restraining them from giving them these divine honors. So we can read that also of Cornelius, and that he is falling down before the feet of Peter. But Peter says, "No, you may not worship me." He says, "Rise up, I also am a man as thou art." The Lord Jesus has spoken unto the devil that thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Thus, honor and divine worship, they are distinguishable things. Honor thy father and thy mother. It is true that sometimes the word honor that is being used in the Bible for the activity of worshiping, and yet there is a definite distinction between these two words. Thus, to honor, what is that? That honor that the Lord is requiring in this commandment, that is, that we are giving a very high esteem to certain persons in this world. And why is that? It is because that we recognize the position that they have been placed in this world by the Lord himself. And thus the Lord says that when we honor them because of that position, and that we honor actually God himself. But to whom then does this honor appertain? Because we read here, honor thy father and thy mother. But we can read how that our instructors are saying that it is actually including more than our literal father and mother, because they say, and all that are in authority over me. Psalmist says, thy commandment is very broad. And in this example, then we can see that the commandment of the Lord, that is actually much broader than only father or mother. But in this, the Lord is speaking about all authority in general, because it is very clear that we are to honor more in the world than our literal father and mother. The family congregation is the foundation of the institution of authority in this world by God. Thus, the obedience to this commandment, that is beginning where? That is beginning in our own homes. Because disobedient children become disobedient adolescents, who become disobedient citizens in this world. Rulers, governors, magistrates are also called fathers and mothers. Isaiah says, kings shall be thy nursing fathers. The Lord is clear in his word of our duty also concerning them. Peter says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of men for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or to governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. And then we can read that these people are set in their place by God. And it is that they are set in that place by God for a very specific reason, for a very specific purpose. We read that is to relieve the oppressed ones. That is one of their main tasks. That is to do judgment for the fatherless. We read to plead for the widow. Thus, they are set in their task that they may govern, that they may rule in a righteous way before God. And then we owe them honor, not because of their person, not because of who that they are or may be within themselves, but that we owe them honor because of that office that the Lord has placed them in this world. Ahab was one of the most wicked kings. And yet we read about the prophet Elijah, how highly he has honored him when he has run before his chariot. Saul was a very wicked king. And yet we can read of that respect that David has in his heart, and that is coming out in the life of David in his actions for this wicked king, even as he is seeking his own destruction. We can read in the Word of God how that we are exhorted in a special way that we should pray for those who are set in authority over us. Paul exhorted Timothy that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. In this world, then it is right and it is proper for us then to address persons in such honorable positions as, for example, a judge or a senator, that we write to them, that we address them as honorable or your honor. We are called in the Word of God to rise up before the hoary head and to honor the face of the old man and to fear thy God, I am the Lord. Thus, boys and girls, young people, when there is an older person and you are in their midst, then you are called to pay them high respects, or how this is being broken down in our days, that children and that young people, and they are not speaking respectfully anymore to parents and to older ones. When there is an old man, boys and girls, or an old woman, and there is no place for them to sit, do you then rise up and give them your place? We can read of Rehoboam that he thought the advice of the young men better than the advice of the old men. He had no respect for their experience. He had no respect for their wisdom. And what do we read in the Word of God? That it was of the Lord, but it actually was a judgment of the Lord, and that he has directed everything in such a way, thus a judgment. Young people, when we no longer want to hear the wisdom and the experience that comes from living in this life, from those who have seen so much more than we have seen. Paul speaks about the offices also within the church and admonishes to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. That is also regardless of the person of an office bearer. And then they also have that office given unto them by God. How do we speak, parents, about teachers in the school unto our children? How do we speak about office bearers within the church unto our children? Then when we speak in a negative way, and then we do nothing but break down the institutions of the Lord, and then it is admitted, and then we know that every teacher, that every minister and elder and deacon, they are going to have their shortcomings. And yet, we must honor them for their offices. Boys and girls, thus we can read that also your teachers, they are, in a certain sense, as your father and as your mother. There used to be servants, and we can read about those servants also in the Bible. And those servants were exhorted to be obedient to their masters and please them well in all things, not answering again. Or how do we hear this broken down also? And that young people, that children, and that those who are to obey, they are answering again. So that when a teacher, instructor, when father and mother says this or that, then a child still has something to say, still has something to answer. And then you sin not only against your instructor or your father and mother, but then you sin against the commandment of the Lord itself. Thus we see in our second thought something of how that we must obey father and mother. What doth God require in the fifth commandment? That I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience. All, it says, honor, love, and fidelity. So where does love dwell? Love is something that dwells within our heart. Thus, this commandment that has something to do not only with our outward obedience, but it has something to do with that which is living in our heart. Because when there is love, then there will be loyalty and then there will be devotion. But when there is no love and there is no loyalty, then to honor that is also very, very difficult. When that love is present, then it is very easy to do, as our fathers are saying, to submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience. How is a congregation in our own homes? Parents, then we must begin actually with ourselves. We know that by nature, it is not difficult to obey anyone. That is very difficult. We were not created so. We were created with a desire to obey God. But our Father has rebelled, and we have now received that nature, and it is a nature which rebels. It is a nature that wants to do as we please, that wants to be as our own God, to say what we think is good and what we think is evil. Thus, parents, in the very first place, that we must understand something of the difficulty of our children in obeying this command. That it is because our children are born in sin, in trespasses, that this is going to be a very difficult thing. That is something that we need to recognize as parents. That due to sin, that everything is not as it ought to be. And that our children will not have that nature that is just submitting themselves to our rightful authority. That has to do also, husbands, with our wives. Because you also have authority over your wife, and she is also commanded to submit herself to your authority. But let us always remember that that is a very difficult thing for her, because she has also that same nature that we have, a corrupt nature that wants to be independent. And when we understand a little of this, then we are not so hard on our wives. But that means also that we are not so hard also on our dear children. The Lord has therefore had to give also us instruction, parents, saying, "Fathers, provoke not your children unto wrath." Therefore, the Lord is saying that we must understand that nature that our children have received due to the fall, because before the fall, then our children, and they would never have been provoked to wrath by our authority. Thus do our children feel something of the love of our hearts. Are we instructing also our children? When our children are very young, then they are not able to understand everything. That is, when they are very young, that it is necessary that they learn to obey without explanation. That they learn to obey simply because they are told to obey. But when our children begin to get older, then it is wise that we are also instructing our children the reasons why we are commanding them to do this or to refrain from another thing. How is it that we speak to our children? Do we speak to our children even as Saul has spoken to his son Jonathan? "Thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman." What a way to speak unto our own children. And when we are speaking in such a way, then we can expect that our words are going to be coming back unto us. How are we disciplining our children? Do we discipline our children with a punishment that is fit to the crime? Or is it a punishment that is much greater than the crime? Are we punishing our children without warning? Or do we first warn them what is going to happen when they disobey? How do we treat our children in respect to one another? Do we show partiality to our children? Jacob, he has brought much trouble upon himself and his whole household when he has shown partiality to his son Joseph, so that there was envy in the hearts of his other children, provoking them to do that awful sin that they have done. On the other hand, young people, then it is often and that we think that we have received the worst part from father or mother, and that brother or sister, and they are receiving the better part. But remember that it is not wise for fathers and mothers to treat everyone the same, but it is that they are treating everyone according to their own needs, and you have different needs than your brother or your sister has. Parents, how is it that we command our children? Do we just command them to work, to do this or that? Or are we going before our children to lead them and to show them how to do their labors? Do we praise our children for a job that they do well? Or is it all negative? Is it all criticism of our children? We can make it easy for our children to obey, or we can make it very difficult for our children to obey. On the other side, children and young people, how is this with you? Do you honor your father and your mother? Then in the first place, does that proceed out of the love of your heart? In return for all the care and all the concern that your parents have and are expending for you even since the day of your birth, when there will be love in your heart, that will also show in your deeds. Thus does it come out in your words. Does it come out in your actions? How are you speaking to your father or mother? Do you speak to father or mother just like you are speaking unto your friends? That is not proper. How do you answer your father, and not only your father, but boys and girls and young people, how do you answer your mother? Then your mother should not have to say, we will have to wait until father comes home. But it is both your father and your mother that you must show that due honor and respect. Do you honor them with your cheerful assistance? Do you honor them with your obedience? Is that a prompt obedience, boys and girls? How many times does your father or mother have to ask you to come or to do this? They should not have to say this two times. No, but they should only have to say this one time. And your obedience, is that just a partial obedience? Or is that a complete obedience that you fulfill in every way? How is it that we receive the instruction of our parents? Do we respect the opinion of our father or mother over our own opinion? How do we receive the discipline of our father and mother? Do we submit ourselves to their discipline? Or do we rebel against their discipline? Is there sorrow when we are disciplined? Or is there anger when we are disciplined? Young people, do we, when we are disciplined, leave the parental home because we don't want to be under the authority of our father or of our mother. Paul said we have had fathers of the flesh, and they have rebuked us, and he says we did them reverence. In the Old Testament, a stubborn and a rebellious son was one who was put to death. He was stoned because of the wickedness of not placing himself under the authority of father and mother. How does that carry over to the workplace? The place of our employment. Is there, as we read here, honor, love, fidelity, submission, obedience also in the workplace? Are we faithful, young people, with the goods, with the time of our employer? Is it a cheerful willingness that we serve them also? Are we careful with the name of our employer? You say, my boss, my mother, my father doesn't deserve such a respect. You don't understand the position that I am in. You don't understand what I have to deal with every day. Is that then a reason that you should not honor your father and your mother? That is what we hope to consider after we sing from Psalter 322, stanzas 1 through 4. How shall the young direct their way? What light shall be their perfect guide? Thy word, O Lord, will safely lead if in its wisdom they confide. 1 through 4 of Psalter 322.
Thank you.
honor thy father and thy mother. Why? That is our last thought. Boys and girls, listen now for the answer. Why? What doth God require in the fifth commandment? That I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction, with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Do you hear why? It is very simple, the reason why. Since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. What did we read together? Children, Paul says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That is the reason. For this is right. Because this is the command of God. That is why. That is the foundation. That is the reason. That will not necessarily make for an easy life. But there's a great comfort in the obedience of the commandments of the Lord. Our instructors, they say, patiently bearing with their weaknesses and infirmities. How is that for a child who must patiently bear with his father's awful temper, who is not able to control himself and has no rule over his own spirit? How is that for a child whose mother is a drunkard, whose mother is seldom home, who does not show love and care for her children, or whose father is peevish, or who is cruel? There is so much misery in this world. And we would only enter into the doors of the homes that are all around us, we will find so much misery in this world. There is also so much that we as parents have to answer for. And yet, is that now an excuse that we do not honor and obey father and mother? No. Servants, be subject to your masters, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. That means their bad character does not make us free. What a great blessing if such children, when they may have to go through such things in their life, I have a little impression that the Lord, He is overruling everything. What a great blessing when such children may honor their father and their mother, simply because it is pleasing God to govern me by such a hand, to honor them, simply because God says in His Word, for this is right. And when such a child may be given to lay everything at the feet of the Lord. Know the honoring of father and of mother. That is not built on the character of father and mother. It is founded and it is grounded in the commandment of the Lord. It's nothing to do, young people, with their wisdom. It has nothing to do with their fairness. It has nothing to do with their character. Do you know what it has to do with? It has to do with the good pleasure of the Lord. Since it pleases God to govern you by their hand, that God has given you this father, and that God has given you this mother. And therefore, Paul says, children, obey your parents in all things. For this, he says, is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And that is so, congregation, with all authority. Peter says that the powers that be are ordained of God. And for that reason, then we have no business joining unions, joining strikes, other pressures against our employers. Yes, we may speak to an employer, but we have no right to put any pressure upon them. Even the wicked are placed in their positions of authority, not by men, but that they are placed there by God Himself. What did the Lord say of Pharaoh? For this cause have I raised thee up to make my power known. The Lord knew everything. He knew Pharaoh and he knew every subject of Pharaoh. Can we always obey? No. No, we cannot always obey. There is only one time when we may not obey, and that is when the command of our superiors is contradicting the commandment of the Lord. That is, the King of Kings, the supreme authority, Naboth, did not obey Ahab, and it cost him his life. And yet he would not go in that way because of the commandment of the Lord. It would have been much better, boys and girls, if Jacob did not obey his mother. It would have been much better if Jacob had said, Mother, I cannot do it. Mother, I may not do it. To go in and to deceive my father. There is one that stands above every authority in this world, that is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And let that be to the comfort of everyone who is oppressed under authority in this world. But congregation, do we also submit ourselves to his authority, to that supreme authority? You say, how can we obey him? We know that that small beginning of obedience, that true obedience, that our fathers say, that is by that true regeneration. Because, of course, without faith, all is sin. But on the other hand, there is also an outward obedience. that is well-pleasing unto the Lord and that is seen by the Lord. We may read about Nineveh and how that they have taken heed unto the commandment of the Lord, and they have lain in sackcloth and ashes, and the Lord was pleased to hear their cry. And congregation, we may have that word of God, who is the supreme authority in this whole world, that is not given to many people in this world. In the word of God, we may have every one of his commandments. And those commandments are brought before us Sabbath after Sabbath day. And we go through them now one by one. Have we then in our heart a love, a desire to walk even in an outward way according to those commandments? Then we try to bring to you also the things that are connected to our lifestyles and the way that we are living in this world. The places that we go, the clothing that we wear, they are not our own opinions. No, they are coming out of that holy word of God. Congregation, how discouraging it is when from time to time that we see and that as some have no desire to walk according to those holy commandments of the Lord. Oh, may the Lord give us together a desire to be in obedience to all that are placed in authority over us, but that we ourselves may be in obedience to his holy word. Or then it can be that also we have fathers and mothers that we have disobeyed in our life, and that father and mother is now lying in the grave, and we have no more opportunity to go to them and to ask them forgiveness for all that we have done against them. Oh, remember it. Remember it, young people. That you have a father and a mother in this world still alive is a great blessing. And then be careful, so careful, not to step upon their heart especially, to walk in the ways of the Lord, to seek their forgiveness for every transgression, and that you may seek forgiveness, especially at that throne of God. Or we can read in the Word of God that he was a son that was so obedient unto his father, that he has walked in every way that his father has commanded him. And so he has paid the price for those who are disobedient. And therefore also those sins, they are not, congregation, unforgivable. May we therefore be found at that throne of grace, that we may receive from him forgiveness for all that is without and for all that is within. Amen. O Lord, forgive, forgive all that is sinful within and without. And thou hast given the blessed, blessed relation between husbands and wives, parents and children. Oh, may we be given, may our children be given to see the great blessedness of these relations given by thee, and that even in their youth they may be given to highly respect father and mother, because it pleases thee to govern them by their hand. And give us wisdom, Lord, to judge and to do rightly, to bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Wilt thou go with us now to our homes, and be with each and every one in our individual places in this world. Lord, may thou thyself guide and keep us, and remember us also when we will be apart from one another, when we must also go away in this coming weekend. Be with us where we go, and remember thy servant also, who hopes to be a service in the midst of this our flock. Help him. Bless thy word in our midst. Forgive our sins. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 61, stanzas 1 through 4. My sins and faults of youth, let them forgotten be. And for thy tender mercy's sake, O Lord, remember me. 1 through 4 of Psalter number 61. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.